Welcome to the Stain Gang Podcast with Bernita Jackson to talk about Midwestern State women's basketball. We kind of took Thanksgiving week off, but we're back and ready to roll at least through the first couple of weeks of December. The women's basketball team has come up on hard times here. Things have not gone, according to Hoyle, not the way we expected. How do you adjust to the changes? How do you play the hand that's been dealt?
Exactly like you say, you just got to kind of, you know, square up and figure out what your next move is. I mean, nobody anticipates, you know, losing three starters in a week and then, you know, you get one back, but then you still have two out. And so it's been a huge adjustment period for us. It's been a re-identifying who we are now, you know, without the two starters that are now out with injuries. And so that's just a part of it. That's just a part of the sport, a part of the sport that nobody, you know, wants to go through. But when you find yourself in that situation, you just have to figure out, okay, what are we good at now? And let's get better at some things now based on where we are. So it's been a little bit tough, but, you know, you train with a certain lineup and prepare with certain situations and an entire preseason. And then in a matter of a week, that all shifts and change. I think it would affect anybody. And so, we're just trying to figure out who we are now. And so that part is what I and my staff get to do as coaches, is help them figure out with what we have now, you know, who can do what in what scenarios best, and just try to, you know, kind of weather the storm, if you will.
It seems like you're still playing good defense.
The defense is good. That's been stabilizing us. Maybe this past game, Tuesday night, it was not good. And so that was our first game without our two starters, which those two starters that specifically went down were two of our defensive anchors. And so others stepping up this past Saturday was really hopeful to see. I was glad to see that because we were a lot better defensively, but still not figuring out how to turn that defense into offense, and we would get steals and then come down and just slow the game down so much. And it's not necessarily what we want to do. Just because we're down a few rotations, it doesn't mean we want to play so slow that we don't even give ourselves a shot in transition. And so we're figuring that out. We're learning as we go. We're watching a lot of film and just being really humble by getting an opportunity to see a side of us that we didn't know was even there.
I remember talking to you about Anaya earlier. It may not have been on a podcast. It may have just been us talking. But you were telling me that Anaya does a lot of the communicating when she's on the floor, that she was kind of a quarterback back there for you. So not only are you missing her physical tools, mm-hmm. but you're kind of also missing her voice on the floor, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. As a post player, that's kind of what they do. They have the greatest vision of everything because a guard that's up on the ball can't see behind them. And so having a post player with the high an IQ that can tip off what's going on, watch the cutter, watch the ball screen happening, even if it's not her man doing the action, she sees it, and she was able to really anticipate some things for us, to jump passing lanes, get some steals, get to rebounds for us. And, you know, not having that and not having the other guard right now, potentially she could come back in the next couple of weeks. We're hopeful, but it hurts you when you don't have that communication. So trying to get the others to step up and understand that, which we said from day one, everybody should be communicating.
Right.
But I thought Tuesday night was a huge wake-up call for our team that it's a glaring issue now. Now that we don't have her voice there on the court, she's still on the bench loud, but we don't have her on the court, they're really seeing it's a glaring issue. Okay, this isn't just Coach Jackson saying we got to communicate. This is truly something we must fix. And so we've got to get better at that. I thought also, too, that we just allowed the adversity to kind of get to us a little bit and make us kind of start fighting a little bit and bickering too much, which that happens. I think that happens to anybody. I think
it's like a family, right?
Yeah. I think that when you go through any type of adversity and like I tell the girls, when life takes the wind out of you, right? Like it happens to all of us. Your response cannot be to fight the very people that are there to help you. Your response has got to be literally take a step back and be honest about what you went through, and then find a way to work with what you have left to get to where you need to go. And for them, a lot of them, you know, didn't prepare for worst case scenario. And so they're having to learn on the fly you know, what to do when things don't go the way we anticipated, when somebody I thought I was going to get to play with is now sidelined. And so you figure that out. You figure out how tough you are by going through these types of things. I'd rather be going through this adversity now than in February. And so there's still a lot of hope for our young girls. They're still competing and figuring out what that looks like, figuring out, you know, what it means to come in and get after it every single day in spite of things going the way I thought it was going to go. I think it's a huge life lesson for them as well. And so for me personally, I hate that it happened like this, but it's better that we learn this now before we get into, you know, Lone Star Conference play and all of those things that are at stake.
We talk about it on a fairly regular basis, but one thing about sports is you do learn life lessons. Mm-hmm. And that's happening for your young ladies right now. You mentioned getting into conference play. It's here.
Yes.
Angelo State's going to be here on Wednesday. It's an Angelo State team. When you look at their record, I think they're 1-4. But when you look at their schedule, they've played some really good teams.
Yes, they've played some good teams, and they've definitely competed very well. When you watch those teams, like they just finished playing Pittsburgh State at Pitt and competed and battled with them pretty well early on, and they're a really good shooting team. They shoot the ball way better than what it looks like right now, and so we had our scout, we talked to the team. The two words that I said about Angelo that I've always thought about them, they're very energetic and they're very scrappy, and so they're not a team to take lightly or just look at their record. They are definitely a team that, you know, played in the Lone Star Conference tournament last year and has, you know, for the last few consecutive years, and they have that experience to lean on, and they want to get back to the conference tournament. And so they're coming in with a mindset that is 0-0, and regardless of the preseason, we want to be 1-0 in the Lone Star. And so we got to be thoughtful about that, and we have to compete with them as well. We got to be scrappy as well, and we got to have way better energy than them, especially regarding that three-point line, because they're definitely going to shoot the ball.
Well, you kind of anticipated my next question, because when you said they're energetic and scrappy, that's kind of what you want to see out of your girls, isn't it?
Much more energy. I thought our energy in the first half this last game was a lot better, but I think once the girls didn't see their shot falling, they allowed that to deflate them. And so we've talked to them about persistence and perseverance, and, you know, how do you adapt and adjust to not getting early shots to fall? You know, what else could we be doing? And so we've identified a few things that we want to see out of our team so that we can close out games with a little bit more energy, excitement, enthusiasm about getting to compete. And Angelo is going to be a great test for us on if we have addressed some of those things in the last few days that we've been practicing.
Given the team's makeup now, What's the strength of your team?
The strength of my team right now, definitely having really good defense. I mean, that to me was very pleasing to see on Saturday afternoon, which is our team can lock in and get stops, right? Like they can steal, block shots and get to rebounds and pressure the passing lanes. And so I thought our defense stabilized us and kept us in great opportunity to go down and score. I think that some of our returners are starting to wake up a little bit, like Carissa Cortez. She had a great shooting night, and she can shoot the ball. She just doesn't look to shoot as much as probably a typical point guard. She definitely wants to table set more than that. But her coming alive and kind of sparking up is perfect in time for conference. We need more of her, and we need more of Kirby. Kirby is getting shots, and this last game they didn't fall the way she wanted them to, but the fact that she's getting shots lets me know that she knows how to get them. Now she just needs to finish them more. So those are positive things. And if we can get her and maybe one other guard going, then, you know, we'll have a good balanced attack. And so that's kind of what I'm looking for out of this game. Kirby making some shots inside, as well as maybe one other guard knocking down a few to stretch the floor. And then I also thought Macy Upshaw is kind of coming alive for her. She's just a freshman, but she just plays so hard inside. She can affect shots and block them inside, and she goes and gets rebounds. She got a few steals. You know, she's very confident defensively, and then offensively she doesn't try to do too much, and so it gives us a little bit of a paint presence. And so we've been working with her a little bit on establishing herself sooner and earlier so that she can get a few touches inside. But I like her a lot. I think she's got a huge upside, and I'm excited to see how she continues to develop over the year.
Yeah, she has been kind of a, for lack of a better phrase, a pleasant surprise. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm that surprised that Bernita Jackson recruited a good player, but Macy's, I thought she's played well. I thought Katie had been playing well, Katie Greathouse, and we saw her go down. What's her status?
She's fine. We don't know if she'll be playing by the game tomorrow, but she definitely wants to. But we're going to definitely keep her safety in mind, and especially given the limited roster that we have, we'd rather kind of scale back and let her fully recover than have her to push and not be ready for as tough of a game as this Angelo game is going to be. But she's good. Everything is intact and in place, just some swelling, and so once the swelling goes down, I think she'll be fine. But yeah, she's been playing really well. She's been shooting the ball well. She blocked a few shots. She got some rebounds. She's been a leader for us on the court as well. She's been one of those, you know, enthusiastic people in the locker room that just has a burning belief in her that, come on ladies, we got this, we got this. So when you see, you know, kind of the little engine go down, you know, everybody's like, oh no, you know, Katie's down, but the belief isn't down. And so she's sitting there with a bag of ice on her knee, and she's just like, come on, y'all, we got this. We're a good shooting team. Y'all just, it'll start falling. You just got to be confident in it. And so she just has such a great leadership about her that she impacts the team in ways that don't show up on the box score. And she's a bright spot. She's a great person to coach, and she makes us a better, she makes us a better program.
Yeah, and it is showing up in the box score as well for her. So that's why it was kind of tough to see her go down. But it's good news that we're going to see her come back.
Yes,
that is really good news. What type of game are you expecting against Angelo State? Are you expecting a physical game, an up-tempo game? How do you think this thing's going to unfold?
I think it'll be up-tempo. I definitely think it'll be physical. You know, I haven't necessarily been pleased with the amount of physicality that we've seen so far. I was under the impression that it would be cleaned up a little bit going into this year based on what I saw some of the points of emphasis were, but such is life. But I think it'll be physical, up-tempo, and I think it's going to be two Lone Star teams really trying to identify who they are in this season and at this moment. And so I think it's going to be a good competitive game, and we're trying to come out on top.
And then you've got Permian Basin coming in. They've opened up the season 3-3. They've kind of been on a roller coaster ride here at the start of the year.
Yes, they have another scrappy team that always has really good guards and is going to be able to get downhill on us and knock down the three ball at times. They'll throw some different looks at us defensively, from pressing to their 1-3-1 zone. So we'll have to be able to read our guards. They have to be able to read what they're in and just take what it is that we want to take from those different reads. But they're a really, really good team as well. It has been up and down. Some of that's just due to having such a new roster, but no question that she'll have her team going by Friday for sure when they come and play us. The tough thing about being travel partners with Lubby Christian is, you know, some coaches look at the week and they're like, well, probably ain't going to beat Lubbock, but so we going to give MSU all we got. So unfortunately, we get people's best effort, and that's okay. I don't want it any other way. But that's the tough part about being road, you know, kind of those road partners, travel partners with Lubby Christian. And or the other side of it, they go in there and you know, get frustrated. It's like a angry bee now, and so now they come in here and it's a whole different, you know, energy than what you saw on film. But such is life, you know. We definitely think that these are two winnable games. We still feel like our team has not yet settled in yet, and we still believe our best is in front of us, and so we're working hard every day to get to that place of confidence where people see on the outside all the work that's going on inside.
Kevin told me you had a 21-pound turkey for Thanksgiving.
We did.
Any leftovers?
No. No. People was eating the bones, the skin. Somebody ate the neck. I said, boy, that turkey didn't stand a chance. The turkey is gone.
Well, I know Kevin had a good football Thanksgiving weekend.
Yes,
so
Cowboys won.
It's good to see a smile on your face here. And thanks for doing this podcast. And
absolutely.
We'll be there to bring you all of the action on Flow College, but we'd rather see you at DL Ligon Coliseum, and that's a 5:30 start on Wednesday, and then it's a matinee on Friday. You'll play a 2 o'clock game on Friday afternoon,
yes.
So if you can make it, please do so. If not, we'll have it for you on Flow College. Bernita, again, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you again next week on another podcast. That's Bernita Jackson, the women's head basketball coach here at Midwestern State. Tell your friends about the podcast. Follow the Mustangs at MSUMustangs.com and make your plans to be at DL Ligon Coliseum this season. I'm Pete Stein. So long.